I think you're Patrick.
Check.
And I'm Will. And that's Chris. And we're guys with issues.
Well, there it was.
There we go.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
No, we might want to redo that. I didn't say it very loudly.
That's true.
I can change that.
whatever.
I say we keep it.
All right, we're rolling.
Work. I'll make it work. Right. It'll be the first kickoff of a new year.
Or we could just redo it.
I feel like we've had this conversation before. Fine. Go ahead.
Who's doing what?
Aren't you starting?
Oh, I think I'm Patrick.
And this is probably Will.
And I'm Chris, and we are Guys with Issues.
No? Okay.
Nope. No. I know who I am.
I don't know who I am.
I've got four different names. I could be multiple people.
I thought he'd be like, does any of us know who we are? I really thought that that was going to be his response.
I always got to keep him guessing.
Yep. This week on Guys with Issues, we read the second part to the Captain America, to the real Winter Soldier.
Yes, not the fake one.
Bucky Barnes.
Mm-hmm. We did that.
Yep. So.
I was there.
Before we talk about that, I think we know what is about to happen. We already bantered the other day.
We did.
Do you have any new banter to share?
No.
You're like, nope, it is.
Anything to come, Patrick. Any plans this weekend?
Sure, but then that's going to ruin next week's.
Yeah. No, because then you can just double dip and double say what dip. Actually happened.
When everything goes awry?
Yeah.
Are you anticipating his plans going sideways?
Well, I expect things to go awry either with sandwiches or events.
I thought he was going to say or whiskey.
Okay, well.
Or whiskey. There's so much different ways you can go awry.
Yes, so I'll just, that's nice. So I'll just say that my parents' 50th wedding anniversary party is this weekend.
Ah.
Wow.
So it's either going to be great or not. We'll find out.
Or it's going to be super great.
Next week.
It's going to be
on Guys with Issues.
Great or super great.
Right.
Hey.
Hey.
You should serve some yerba mate and some gourds.
I'm good.
Serve it. It didn't say drink it. Be like, Pops.
I'm not in charge of the drinks.
Oh, is your dad? Maybe you're going to have
no,
yerba
mate.
No,
my dad's not in charge of the drinks either.
What are you in charge of then, Patrick?
I'm in charge of scanning photos in.
Yeah, it's all
and
it does.
Creating a slideshow presentation.
Do you pick music too?
What a formal
I'm not
party.
Picking music. It's you just should. Going to be slides.
No, you should have music.
What's it going to be the what?
I can't the intro the to it. Our podcast.
No, I was thinking of the guys that running around all crazy.
The guys running around all crazy.
Yeah. Why can't I think of the song name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like
I do not know.
I don't know.
It could be one of millions of
millions things. Millions of things. I understand.
Do you know any lyrics?
No.
Or is it just music?
It's just music.
Oh, I was thinking like you could do all kinds of pump up music. None of this like slow jam ballad.
Just all Shania Twain.
I'm not going to add it again this week.
Whatever Kristoff pops up, just be like, you don't impress me much.
Oh, shoot. Well, Will, do you have anything to add?
I've got a dinner to go to this weekend at our friend's
I'm
house.
Invited to that dinner.
Yeah.
I hear you're making jambalaya.
Yeah, that's what they requested.
Yeah, that's because they know. They know anytime yeah. they can get that out of you. That's why you have friends.
Well, originally they I know, right? They want she said just to like, you know, just bring a dessert or something. I was like, okay. And my plan was to get this
Yakety sacks.
Okay.
Just that on loop.
I don't know.
Those are some
I mean,
words.
I probably know it.
You
if,
know it.
If I heard it.
Yeah.
Can you hum a few bars?
No, but I could play the song.
No, don't do that.
Like it'll take 3
Maybe
seconds.
Future Chris will insert it.
Maybe.
Who knows?
We'll see. Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah, originally I was supposed to bring dessert, and I was going to get the stuff and have my mom make that raspberry shortcake. Because, you know, Melissa really likes that.
Yep.
So then I was asking her if it was still on. She's like, hey, change of plans. Could you bring that jambalaya? We were talking about it the other day, and we were kind of hoping we could, you know, eat some. So now that is the
plan.
I want some jambalaya.
It's good.
It probably is.
He'll just have to save you a container.
I'll save you some, Patrick.
Okay.
And he'll give it to you when we record next week.
And I don't even have to go.
Nope. Which is the best of both worlds.
Oh, I
know. No gathering and good food.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited to whip up a batch?
Yeah, I haven't done it in a little while, but...
Did you go to the last gathering?
Yes.
Yeah? They had one a couple months ago, right?
Yeah, I think I brought cheesecake.
Mm.
Just went to the store.
Sometimes it's got to be an easy win, right?
Yeah.
You know people are going to like it. And
that's of course. Okay. I mean, I knew I was going to like it.
Right. You got anything else you wanted to share?
I mean, I did look up a few...
facts? Hold on. Let me get... I had
to pull some out of the bank because I didn't have enough time since we recorded so soon.
That's okay. I'm going to throw out my quick banter. I recently went through two books, and I'm on a third. Master and Apprentice, it's a Star Wars book, Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ending made it better, but overall it was a hard read for me to enjoy. But a lot of people say for Star Wars fans, it's pretty high tier. It was okay. Then I read Big Ship at the Edge of the Universe, which
you recommended to me.
I did, but I could see you enjoying it. Did you read the what's that one? The small something to the angry planet or something like that.
Didn't finish it.
Well, this is where that's more just about the characters talking to each other most of the time.
Sure.
This is like Fast and Furious in space.
Oh.
mixed with a little non-mysterious mystery.
Are there any tire screeching noises?
One of the characters is literally a race car.
An actual race car? Oh.
Competitor. A professional driver. Like a Grand Prix driver.
In space.
On planets.
Oh.
And she gets more or less kidnapped. And
how do you get more or less kidnapped?
Is she more kidnapped or less kidnapped? Well, it can't be both.
Did she kidnap herself?
She was being kind of abducted by one character when that character became abducted by a different group of people, and they took the other one along because they weren't going to leave her laying there.
That is like the Russian nesting doll of abductions.
Yeah, they were like, oh, we can't just leave her out there.
I mean, that's nice of them.
Yeah, well, she had a bounty on her head.
Well, that's why they didn't leave her out there.
Yeah. Well, they didn't. They weren't going to collect.
Oh.
They just were like, we're not bounty hunters, but that area would not be good for you to have been left unconscious in.
Well.
So it kind of sets the tone that the crew, even though they threatened the kidnapped character, Anyway, I didn't really want to talk about this book. I thought it was okay.
Let's not.
I'd give it like a 3 out of 5, maybe.
Perfect.
But the book I'm listening to right now, called Void Drifter.
Oh, the one you posted.
It is good. I am digging it.
Yeah?
Like, is it... It's kind of an... What do you guys like? Isekai?
Yeah, isekai.
So basically, sure. It's kind of the science fiction level of that. It's like a normal dude who ends up accidentally on a spaceship that leaves Earth, and he learns that there's much more going on around him. And he becomes a part of that.
Like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Kind of, but completely different.
Well, sure. There's not a lot that's like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if I'm being honest.
But no, a humble grad student archaeologist ends up on a bounty hunting spaceship.
I really feel like it should have been a computer nerd.
No, that's part of what is at odds with things.
I know.
You would just like the ship AI.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give that one a listen instead.
I think you would genuinely enjoy it.
Cool. I'll ask you about it later.
And then I went to the movie theater and watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind last night.
Yes, I was wondering if you're going to bring that up.
Yeah, it was cool to go watch a 50-year-old movie that is much better than most of the stuff that I've gotten to see nowadays.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I believe it. I looked up. I thought about going to the movies the other day.
That's my line.
Well, we all borrow each other's lines.
I know, that's true.
I mean, whose line is it anyway?
That was beautiful, Will. Beautiful.
Yeah, and
it is beautiful,
there was just nothing out there that I'm like, hey, I really want to go see that.
No, The Fall Guy was worth it, but that was about it. I don't know.
The Fall Guy was worth it. That was a good movie.
It was so good. So well done.
So anyway, I wanted to bring up that they're going to have Blazing Saddles in theaters later.
September, right? September?
September, yeah. I am so looking forward to that.
I have to go watch it.
I know, right?
Yeah, get this. So when I went to watch this, they showed that they're going to do Neverending Story this coming week.
Which I want to see.
That in September, there is Blazing Saddles.
Which I want to see.
In November, there is The Fifth Element.
Mm-hmm. Which I want to see.
Oh, that is a good movie.
It is a great movie. Yeah. I've never seen it in theaters.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to go watch old movies.
Yeah. So that's how movie theaters are surviving right now. They're just bringing back the old classics.
Maybe.
Well, you can call that a cash grab. You're like, hey, you could stream it. You could buy it for less than a ticket, but you can't watch it in a movie theater experience again. Right. Or for the first time. Like, I had never even, to be fair, I had never seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh.
Never seen it, but I've always wanted to. And I was like, you know, this is probably the way it's meant to be seen. So I went ahead.
Well, back then, they did make movies to be seen in theaters.
Yeah, with the intent.
And yes. If I wasn't busy, I would have went with you.
I know, but you were.
I was.
Just like normal.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, so I just wanted to mention the books and the fact I went and saw an old movie.
Speaking of books, I heard... Was it on Will White's
about
blog?
The Cradle?
Yeah, but he's doing a Cradle anthology.
Yeah, it was part of backing the Kickstarter.
Oh, he did say that on...
I already pre-ordered it in the Kickstarter.
Nice.
I have it, the ebook.
I don't remember what I did in that Kickstarter.
I don't know. But I bought the ebook add-on for my wife. Because I figure I'll use a credit if it's an audiobook.
Sure. And I'll buy a physical copy if he allows me to. If I didn't already. I don't know.
I don't think that was an option.
Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But that is exciting.
Something that I had heard on the interweb.
Yeah, it's an anthology. Did you see that?
I did just say that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't listening. I'm never the one that that says that.
I know. Who are you? And what have you done with Will?
Hi, I'm Chris.
Oh, no. Don't start that again. What do you got for us, Wacky Fact?
Will's Wacky Facts.
All right, I had to pull a couple out of the old vault. I'm not entirely sure if I mentioned these on the podcast before or not. So we're just going to wing it. I think I told Pat about this first one, how lava lamps are protecting our servers.
What? I didn't know about that.
I don't think you told me about this.
Maybe I didn't tell Patrick about
this. I
don't
think you did.
So you know the... one of the largest server farms out there, or
way,
whatever. It's called Cloudflare.
Maybe you did tell me about this.
Yeah. I think they have, it's a crazy number. I think it's like a third of all the servers in the world.
I believe
are
it.
Cloudflare, like in their server farm. And so when you have that many servers, you have to encrypt it in order to prevent hackers from getting in there. And, you know, and so what they do is they have a wall of like 100 lava lamps, right? Because, you know, when they generate their bubbles and stuff, it's completely random. And so they have a camera sitting in front of it that snaps a picture. And when you have a digital photo, it's all technically just like numbers. Mm-hmm. And so every photo is a different, completely random number. Because the bubbles are different sizes, they're in different positions.
Different colors.
They're different colors, they're different shapes. So that's the only way you can truly create a random number. Because if you used an algorithm, Pat can back me up on this, you can't actually make, like, computers can't make truly random numbers. You have to use, like,
yes,
reality in order to create randomness. Right.
Most people use, like, time. Like, the exact time and stuff, and then they run it through an algorithm. They need something to start with to make a random number.
Yeah, and so this photo is what starts the encryption. And you could actually go and, like, it's in their lobby. You can go and just look at all the lava lamps and touch them and move them. They actually encourage it because it actually adds to the randomness.
Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts out of the butts.
Hey, you're the one to set it this time.
But it's true. That is nuts out of the butts. So it'd be like, here's a wall of lava lamps that keeps all this secret information secret and safe.
Yep.
And you can touch it because it helps us out.
Yeah.
That's it's just
awesome.
It shows the creativity of humans. So does this next one. And it's
procreation. It's a thing that happens.
Yep.
Okay, then.
Yep, that was a thing. Anyway, there is a, I think I've told Chris about this at least. There's a slime mold that grows in the most efficient manner of any organism. Right. It's not actually intelligent, but they've determined that it has what's called like cellular intelligence. And so a university in Japan took and made a 2-scale map of like Tokyo and the surrounding cities. And at all the stations, they added like nutrient piles for the slime. And they put like a seed, I think is what they called it, in each of the nutrient piles. And they all started like spreading out and growing in like just one large thing. But in 26 hours, it like condensed itself into the most efficient pathways, and it created like the world's most efficient subway system or railway system.
That's really interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Leave it to some mold to be able to figure out the way you should get to work every day.
I know, right?
Slime.
Slime.
Slime
sorry.
Mold.
Slime is how you should get to work. That's interesting.
Isn't it?
Thank you for sharing.
Not a problem.
Those were good facts.
They were.
I'm working on something for next time, though. I just heard about it today.
As the kids say, you got something cooking?
I got something cooking. I was listening to the Stuff You Should Know podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's a good podcast.
And they were talking about the Pulitzer Prize, like how it started, what it is. And this guy mentioned a really good article online called Bloodspore. And he's like, oh, it's absolutely fantastic. You have to read it. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that is. So I Google it. And it's about this guy named Stephen Pollock, who is a mycologist, which are people who study mushrooms, conveniently. And
mushrooms again.
I know. I'm like, oh, so, it all comes back around. I got to read this.
So are mycologists only people who study mushrooms conveniently or?
Yeah.
Okay. So the people who study mushrooms inconveniently.
They're not mycologists.
They're not mycologists. All right.
They're cool. Just wannabe hacks.
Right. Okay, cool. I'm glad I cleared that up.
But yeah, there's.
But are they all fun guys?
Every single last one of them.
Nice.
Anyway.
I'll stop interrupting.
Yeah. It's an article written by, I think the guy's name was Hamilton Morris. This is way back in like 2013, though. And
we know it wasn't AI driven.
It wasn't AI driven. Yeah, that's no. But Stephen Pollock was murdered, and the conspiracy is he was assassinated by the police.
I thought you were going to say by the use of mushrooms.
No, it definitely probably led up to it because I've read through like his history and I've got to the part where he was murdered and it talks about like his life leading up to it. And he had been using mushrooms a little bit too much. He started losing his mind. He lost his job. And he was making money by an illegal medical practice where people who wanted to get treated for, you know, illnesses or injuries, but not have it reported to the police, would go to his house and he would treat him like his kitchen was turned into a like operating theater.
Wow.
Where you could do surgeries.
Crazy. And
yeah. But there was this weird cassette tape that was sent to the journalist that wrote it. And it kind of insinuates that the police are the ones that were actually behind his demise. But I haven't gotten to that part in the article yet, so.
So tune in next week if you want to find out.
To find out. Or you can just go and read it online yourself. It's called Blood and Spore.
Wow.
Of He's Mushrooms and Murder.
He's undermining us, retaining listeners for a murder mystery.
Or how police kill fun guys.
At least they don't kill guys with issues.
That's good. We can keep going then.
Well, till one of those assassinations comes, assassins burst through.
We don't talk about them.
Weren't they in the closet? I vaguely remember talking about
like that, yeah.
Ninjas in the closet or something.
Ninjas in the closet. Well, thanks, Will.
Yeah, Will. Yep. That was very interesting.
Are you ready for Will segment part two?
Let me pull up those emails.
Some emails. Well, email. We have one, correct?
I believe so.
Unless that's changed.
Nope, doesn't look like it.
Okay. Which is good because technically the 1 year released yesterday. So, and it's long enough. It should be sustaining some of you who don't listen for long periods.
Yes.
You have plenty to chew on this week.
We're very chewy.
No, I can't make the noise.
I can.
Anyway, it is from the king of emails, Christoph, titled Potty Mouths and Stats. Guys, I did the count. Chris owes 5 dings of coins into the episode swear jar. No excuses for such foul potty mouth. You know it's a good podcast when I'm only 7 minutes in and I'm already golfing.
Guffawing? Yep.
It's a new word for me.
It's loud, boisterous laughter.
Cool.
Like full belly laughs. That's a guffaw. The way I laugh, that's a guffaw.
Yeah. He doesn't laugh. He guffaws.
Fancy. I seriously want in on the power-up go-karts. It sounds like a blast, though I have no illusion of ever beating Patrick.
That's good.
Darn right.
Keep yourself grounded.
I will just set my sights on beating Theo.
Don't take that out of context.
I know. That's what I visualized in my head.
Wow. Yes. While we are on the topic of spilling all of Patrick's secrets, can anyone get me his PIN number? On the topic of Patrick.
To be fair, I could get him my PIN number.
You could.
I'm not going to, but I could.
Yes. On the topic of Patrick, if he is Googling weird stuff to share on the podcast, I think it's only fair that Will takes his place in cosplays as the Irma Gerd girl. I'm waiting for that picture.
Me too.
Me three. I loved all the stats and congratulate you guys on a full year of issues. You forgot about the most important stats, though. Most emailer, longest emailer, cutest emailer. These are the details we need to know. I would love to read a good Spider-Man storyline, one that doesn't involve killing girlfriends. Well, too bad.
Wow.
No. We'll JK. Get to it eventually.
We will indeed.
I mean, did he... I guess there are quite a few people that die in the Spider-Verse one that we started.
Oh, yeah. A whole lot of Spider-Man died.
Yes.
Spider-People.
Spider-Mans. Or...
As Nick said,
Spider-Mans.
Yes. Yours truly, the I Want to Be Patrick too, the longtime listener, first time emailer every time, the one who charges things all the time, the one who fights the IRS audits, the Logan, the prolonger of podcasts, the hunter of Superboy, the nutso to the butso, the redacted, the sixth sheik, the ying to LW's yang, the extreme river crier, the pod. I think he invented the word for being shocked to death by your favorite podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
What is it?
Podrocuted. Podrocuted. Podrocuted, yes.
The Podrocuted. Wow.
the Padre Q did.
Christoph.
I feel like that's him trying to put Q in his sign-offs.
Maybe.
Since he's trying to, you know, weasel that one too. Thanks, Christoph.
Thanks,
Christoph. We appreciate that you've enjoyed a year of podcasts with us. And we will definitely look into some enjoyable Spider-Man's stuff.
Spider-Man's.
But
yes.
And I really, you know, that redacted, that can be fixed. I hooked you up with so many Facebook posts this week. So many.
There's a reason it's redacted. I will let you know after the podcast.
Oh. Okay.
Yep.
Here's the thing. I think I know.
Okay.
Like, legitimately.
All right.
But
then after the podcast, you can tell me why you think. And then
I will. And we'll see. We'll see. If I'm right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Are we trying weird things this week?
Oh. Well, I don't want him to cry again. We should. His bag, I think, is fuller than Lorena's. Should we pull from his again this week?
That is 100% up to you.
What are you feeling, Will? You're the snack guy.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
All right.
We'll double dip. Sorry, Lorena. Bag.
It's a big bag. It's a big bag. Maybe I could post it. I'll post the bag sometime.
Yeah, you should post the bag.
And it's heavy, which means it has to be laden.
I won't cut you this time.
Oh, yeah. That was sharp. It was. Oh.
We'll pull this one out.
That's a big bag.
Doritos Baja Fiery Mango.
What? He bought Doritos?
He bought Doritos.
Oh, the bag is
much smaller now.
Maybe we should have done Lorena's bag. That was hilarious.
It was an illusion. It was mostly just Doritos.
It was mostly Doritos. Oh.
Which is not
upsetting. Sounds like my life.
Your life is mostly Doritos, or it's mostly an illusion?
Well, you know, either one.
Oh, man. Fiery mango. That sounds good.
You know, I'm going to move that bag. Now I can't see Will.
Well, wait. Leave it. I put it there to take a picture. I'll move it in a minute.
Okie dokie,
smoky. You can go without seeing Will for a few minutes.
Pat, I miss
you. You're going to put me through that pain?
I made Christoph cry a river.
That's true.
So, yes.
And we're going to hear about it for weeks.
I'm the mean one.
Mr. Grinch?
I'm a mean one. Mr. Chris.
I mean, I'm just going to hold this bag and munch on it for the rest of the podcast.
Oh, it broke.
You know, I like that.
The mango is very strong, and it's like that sweet candied mango.
It is. There's a bit of spice to it.
Mmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man. That's kind of... It's like that sweet chili flavor.
Yeah.
It's nothing like the sweet chili.
Right.
But the sweet with the spicy is what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I do, too. Thanks, Christoph. What do you think, Will?
It's pretty dang good.
I'd eat that whole bag.
The bag's probably not edible, though.
I forgot that the literal folks are the ones in this room. I only had two chips. I'm gonna eat.
I have another one.
I had more than two, just for the record.
You had quite a few.
I had a handful.
I had like three or four.
Also known as a hand pile.
A pile of hands, yeah.
I enjoy it. I'm not a huge fan of the sweet. Now we can see Will again.
Hi again, Pat.
Hi, Will.
There's no longer a wall separating us.
Thanks, Christoph, for the Doritos. Lorena, we'll make sure to dig in your bag next.
We could do a double dip.
You want to do two right now?
No.
Oh,
I just mean 2 weeks in a row from Lorena.
Yep.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep forgetting to bring the like 1,000-year duck eggs or whatever.
Right.
I need to remember that.
Well, maybe editing this will help you remember.
I need to edit it on the next day that we meet. That won't work.
That won't work. Okay.
Anyway, Roomba.
Yes, this week, I don't know if you guys, at the beginning of the comics, they had synopsises in them. Mm,
they did.
And part two had one that is really good that I think sums up basically the whole thing. So I'm just going to read that.
Okay.
And I'm like, it can't get any better than this, you know? It's the synopsis that the writer wanted.
And Ed Brubaker is top notch, so.
He is. Go ahead.
So what you're saying is we need to get him to write our synopsis from now on.
They would all sound like spy or crime stuff.
You say that's a bad thing. Oh, thanks, Pat. I was about to say the same thing.
Yeah, I know, like, right?
I'm waiting to hear the negative. Anyway. Let's see if we can zoom in on this a little bit.
He's reading it from the page.
Let's zoom in on this bad boy.
Yes.
He can get you a tablet.
Captain America's life has become a living nightmare, beginning with the murder of the Red Skull and the theft of the Cosmic Cube. Cap and his allies at S.H.I.E.L.D. were led on a wild goose chase across the globe, only to be caught flat-footed when General Alexander Luckin.
I say Lukin.
Lukin? I know he's Russian. It could be anything. The man responsible for the Skull's death and current possessor of the Cosmic Cube set off a WMD on American soil. To make matters worse, Lukin's main operative appears to be a man known as the Winter Soldier, a mysterious Cold War assassin who many in the intelligence community still believe to be a myth. But Nick Fury doesn't think so anymore. And along with S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent 13... Oh, and along with S.H.I.E.L.D., blah, 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 Agent 13, Cap's old girlfriend, Sharon Carter, he attempts to convince Cap that not only is the Winter Soldier real, but somehow he is Cap's old partner, Bucky Barnes.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, yes. Let's get into it. Structure time.
Structure, Steve.
Okay. Patrick.
Yeah, what's up?
What was your favorite scene?
Hold on. Let me take a look at my notes.
I like that you said that while you never broke eye contact with me.
You're darn right.
Yeah.
Never.
I think my favorite part. I didn't have a scene.
Mm-hmm.
I had a favorite part.
We do that.
I know. I'm just clarifying for everybody listening. Is when Captain America was reading the folder on the Winter Soldier.
And it was all of the dossiers.
It was all the dossiers about it and all the stuff that happened. And I just, that was awesome. That was really cool.
And it showed like how they would bring him out and use him for a kill. And then he would show up like 5 or 10 years later. And
Yeah, that was really cool.
That was a very creative way to like write someone's storyline very quickly and still remain relevant to what is currently going on. I did like that. That was a very creative.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Storytelling mechanism, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Good times.
It was very cool. What about you, Will?
Mine was one of the action scenes. It was when Captain America, Iron Man, and Falcon raided the aid facility.
That was on my list.
That was just so cool. Especially, it was kind of funny because they had those two technicians kind of messing around with the robot. And the one's like, stop messing with the prototype. The other guy's like, calm down. And then Iron Man blows the door down. And the three of them just kind of walk in.
Yeah, I like that when they show up like they are not worried at all about whoever's there, though.
Right, because they're not.
It's like, you have Avengers breaking into a warehouse, okay?
Right.
But yeah, that was good.
That was good.
Yeah.
They ended up fighting a giant mech suit. So superheroes versus mech suits, pretty cool.
Pretty consistent, too.
Oh, yeah.
I like that Captain America threw the two guys at the mech so that they caught its arms, like, on its cannons while he came to, like, break the front of it. It was cool.
It was.
My favorite part was also the Winter Soldier dossier.
Nice.
File. I agree. I think that was... It's just such an interesting way to give you all the background and also... It brings Cap immediately to the realization that he has to admit that it's Bucky. Like he knows with that folder, it is Bucky Barnes.
Right.
And so everything is given to the reader and to the characters very well. And then he shares that with Nick Fury and, you know, it moves it very, very quickly.
Yes.
And that's what they needed. Was there a bit of a Deus Ex Machina involved in that? A little, but...
Sure.
Did you have another favorite part?
Yeah, I really like the first I think it was the entire first issue that we read, number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Just with Jack Monroe and all of the stuff that happened with him.
Did you enjoy that?
I did. I thought it was really well done, how he was slowly going crazy, how time skips were happening, just all that stuff. I enjoyed it. It wasn't, I mean, I didn't enjoy what was happening to him, but yeah, and since I still don't really have an idea who that was or who that was. Supposedly it was a Captain America after Captain America died. I don't know.
Right, like another
right
government agent.
Right.
That they used or something.
And the super serum seems to be wearing off of him. But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Will? You have another one? He looks a little confused.
My phone wasn't open. My phone's been really weird today. Like it's been just like super slow and...
Have you tried to turn it off and on again?
I did.
Oh. Well, that's all. That's my go-to. If that doesn't work, I'm done.
I thought... Nick Fury in the helicopter, when the pilot's like, you know, we're in like sovereign land. We can't do anything here. And he's like, don't worry, son. I know what I'm doing. It's going to be an international incident, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yep. That was a good part. That was when I first really started noticing the art was not great.
Oh, that's coming up later.
But man, that.
There were moments.
I was just like, that doesn't look like Captain America at all. Oh,
it makes me wonder if they had, because with comics, sometimes the artwork can look really good on some pages or in some issues and not as good on others. And I think some of that is the time that they have to get it done because they're serialized.
I noticed he would do a lot better if whenever Captain America was in his suit, like fully like hood up and like shield out. But when his hood was down, he was drawing like his actual face. It was always like wildly inconsistent.
Wildly inconsistent. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Like sometimes, like in that helicopter scene, I noticed he drew his face like, almost. Like his head was the same size, but his face was smaller.
Right.
I didn't notice, but I'd read this before, so most of it was me reading the dialogue and not looking at the art.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So. Because it wasn't new to me, if that, I really liked the part where when Bucky saves him after he fights the MODOKs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, Bucky? And he's like, who the hell is Bucky?
I know, right?
And one of the reasons I like that is because they used that in the Winter Soldier movie. When he's fighting Winter Soldier on the highway and he knocks his face mask off, he goes, Bucky? And Sebastian Stan goes, who the hell's Bucky?
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's a reason. It's just a good beat and it's a good enough one that they incorporated it into the film.
Right, right.
And so, and that's my favorite Marvel movie. So, you know, whatever.
I can't remember that one too much. I know I watched it at least once.
It's my favorite one. I've watched it many times, but that's because I love spy stuff. That's why I like these types of stories.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got? You got another one?
I have how they used, or how Captain America, I was going to say Superman for some weird reason.
They're kind of the same persona.
How Captain America used the cube to get Bucky's memories back.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought that was convenient, but I still enjoyed it.
But they'd established that the cube can do what you tell it to, even though it doesn't always do it the way you want it to.
Right.
Yeah.
That is true. I also enjoyed that whole conflict between them when Captain America's trying to outrace him because he's about to run away.
Mm-hmm.
And they get into the, you know, scuffle and eventually gets the cube. But then the question is, like, what are going to be the effects on Captain America for having used it?
Right. But he only used it once. So not as much.
Well, I mean, we already saw a strange effect that Lucan had.
Right.
That was going to be my next one.
No, nice. Is it my turn?
Yes. Yeah, it's your turn.
Speaking of, I wanted to point out something in the scene that you just mentioned which is when they say that he needs to stop him before he gets to the underground tunnels. I like that that is it like a writing technique that allowed there then to be a tension with a clock. Like the clock mm-hmm. is winding down. It's limited. It isn't like, oh, you know, if you know, we can fight these guys out here and then get to him and just take our time and be careful. It puts pressure on the main character to have to get it done. Mm-hmm. And I liked that. I like that that's how they kind of forced it to go the way that it did.
Nice.
Yeah. You have any more?
So I don't really have a like favorite scene or anything, but I did enjoy when they started talking about the earlier superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, I read that in the Marvels.
Yep.
Yeah, because I never would have, if without this podcast, had any idea about that.
And yeah, so technically, even though you didn't really enjoy the Marvels, you enjoyed Marvels for the fact that you knew, because right. it covers the exactly. history, yeah. the early history mm-hmm. day of Marvel.
What? Yeah.
It was like Inferno Man and...
Yeah, I don't remember the names. I should have wrote them down. I didn't.
The Aquamariner or something like that.
Submariner.
Yeah.
Aquamariner.
Water, maritime, something.
Yeah.
What about you? You got
it. Yeah. My last one is when Lucan starts going insane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like he starts hearing the voice. And you think it's going to be the captain or general Kaprov or Karpov, like his adoptive father, like the guy who
the one that he beat up. Oh, no, the guy from the past.
The guy from the past, yeah. World War II, from the village.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's going to be like, that's the guy who's talking to him. And then at the end, he's looking in the window, and it's actually Red Skull as the voice.
He's trapped inside of his head.
Yep.
Like, Red Skull is inside of Lucan.
Yeah, because he died next to the cube, and so I guess the cube... must have absorbed part of him or something.
Well, he says that he tried to use the cube to completely take over Lucan and that it didn't work, and now they're both stuck that way.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So he says, because he says, like, now they're stuck sharing, but it should have just been him inside of him or something like that.
Right.
So I think Red Skull knew what was going down, and he tried in that moment, but... the cube, again, didn't do exactly what the user was aiming for.
It also wasn't powered.
At that point. Right. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. So maybe he, like, forced himself to be part of it, because it wasn't like...
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
So I guess that means, I didn't think about it till just now, but that it was probably the Red Skull that sent the dossier.
See, that's what I kind of wondered, because it was clearly the cube... The cube sent the dossier.
Yeah, which you gathered from, you know, Captain America checks his security system and it says like, oh, there's nobody.
Right.
No unauthorized entrances and stuff. So.
Yeah, so to me, that seems like it implies then when you find out Herr Schmidt is inside of Lucan's mind,
mm-hmm.
That he undermined him to get Captain, like to he gave him the Winter Soldier stuff to undermine Lucan maybe. It's they're not working together.
Right. So, quick aside.
Okay.
The word undermine makes me think of The Incredibles.
For the underminer?
Yes.
The drill mole dude?
Right.
Yeah.
I am beneath you, but nothing is beneath me. That's his tagline. I don't know why I remember that. I think it's hilarious.
It is hilarious. Well, that's why you remember.
That's probably why I remember. Who am I kidding?
I also liked that Captain America used the cube, because they don't always do things like that. It's like, but it was a tool he had at his disposal. He decided he was going to use it. But also I like that Cap was like, okay, if I just let Bucky choose to shoot me or not, he's going to choose not to, because deep down Bucky's in there. And so he let himself be vulnerable, and Bucky tried to shoot him anyway, but he was ready. I like that moment, because it makes you realize that Captain America had planned for the possibility. that it was going to happen like that. And I think it just makes it, him look, you get to see that he's intelligent. He's not just like, yeah, he punches folks, but
he's smart. Throws a shield around.
Yeah. He's got to, because his brain can do all that angle work anyway. I know, right? So like, jeez. Legit. So, did you have a favorite character?
I mean, Captain America.
When he throws his mighty shield?
I mean, just pretty much any time.
Captain America.
Not specifically when he throws his mighty shield.
Well, you picked him last time.
I did.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What about you, Wilhelm?
I'm going to throw it to good old Nick Fury.
I thought he was really good in this section as well.
Yeah, because he made the call. He's going to go get Luckin, whatever. And it turns out there was a, you know, representatives from the White House there. And he got in trouble and he owned it.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, stand down, we're done. Too. Do you have evidence? Not at this time.
It's kind of a hunch.
I also like when Captain America, when he was talking about taking him down, he's like, yeah, see him brought to justice. And Fury's like, I'm not going to be happy until I see him dead.
I know, right?
Yeah, that was a pretty good line.
It was. Man, so I hadn't thought about who my favorite character was, but I will say, I was kind of between Captain America and Nick Fury when I thought about it earlier. So who am I gonna?
So halfway between Nick Fury and Captain America.
Is it Sharon again? Do I have to pick Sharon?
Would be probably Agent 13. Yeah.
I'm gonna give it to Cap. It was a good his role in this section was really good.
It was,
and I also like that he's constantly trying to find a way to save Bucky, because, you know, it's like when he tries to keep Sharon from going.
Right.
He tries to keep Agent 13 from going on a mission because he believes that she will try to kill Winter Soldier regardless. And he wants to try to redeem him. So it's good. It was good.
Yeah.
And you can see Marvel's Captain America Winter Soldier and Civil War aspects. Like the film, you could see they drew a lot from those kinds of traits for the movies. Patrick, did you have a least favorite scene?
I couldn't really find one.
Not a specific one?
No.
Cool.
I'm copping out on this one.
That's okay.
Yeah.
We don't always have least favorites.
I know.
Will.
Mine wasn't a scene. I just wrote the artwork. And I have a very specific...
Was it the small face one that you mentioned?
No, I have a very specific image. It made me laugh. It was kind of funny, but it's also horrible.
Never mind, because I thought you... I have a very specific moment that bugged me, but go ahead.
It's a flashback where they're trying to take the bridge from the Nazis in like the Netherlands or Amsterdam or wherever they were.
Right.
And the zombie soldiers are starting to come across the bridge. Mm-hmm. And Bucky makes his face. And he's like, no, it's this one right here.
Yeah. Okay.
What is this?
That one didn't bother me at all.
His chin disappears, and his tongue.
Yeah, the artwork was not good in a lot of places.
Because this artist, for whatever reason, likes to draw tongues coming out, because there's also this one where...
Now, I say that, but it's better than anything I could do, so...
Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
Like, we're only judging it as connoisseurs, I guess.
Exactly.
But when the mask guy goes into the secret military base to kidnap the woman, which is just like a...
Are you talking about Crossbones?
Sure.
And like he's Crossbones.
Like, you don't even remember who you are.
That's
you're,
who. That's
you're
who
the Red Skull's daughter.
Dun, 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 dun. Thank you, Will.
And Sylvia Schmidt.
Yeah, sure.
Or Cynthia. Cynthia. That's what it was. Cynthia Schmidt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the guy, he does almost the same face.
Right.
With like the tongue out and the chin is gone. And it just bugs me to death.
Okay.
That's why he's dead. He's a zombie. See, I actually like this artwork Because of the type of story that it is, I like the tone of the artwork for the story. I'm not saying that.
Yes.
You know
what? I agree with what you're saying.
Like, it feels like a spy stories type of artwork.
Yes.
And that's, he actually does the Winter Soldier book that's like one of my favorites. And sometimes I think his art looks absolutely fantastic.
It does. But no, there were definitely scenes where it was great. It's just there were several panels in which it was just not.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't disagree that there's an inconsistency there. And maybe it wasn't always the same guy doing all of the art. I don't know.
That could have been true. I thought that going through it, but...
But I enjoy his artwork for the type of story that it is, like the style of his artwork.
There's just
my least favorite scene. Yeah. It comes from the Jack Monroe section.
Yeah.
Yes. Because I'd already read some of that too, and I just wasn't, yeah, that whole issue for me, it was okay. But I didn't enjoy it the way you did. But there's a scene when he's walking and there's like snow on the ground. It's like Pennsylvania or something in winter.
Okay.
And there's a mom pushing the daughter on a swing set.
Yes.
They have no coats. There's snow.
Okay.
No parent is like, let's go out and swing, even though there's snow on the ground. Like that.
I feel like that's an artwork thing from somebody who lives in California.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I don't believe this person ever lived where there was snow.
Right.
Because there is, that is, like the mom's in like a little, like long sleeve, maybe like a sweater or turtleneck kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But like, there is clear, like there was no break in the snow. It was just snow. And if there's that, if it's not patchy, it's cold.
Right. Yeah, no, you're right.
And I just went, like, it was the most random, but it just pulled me out so hard. I was like, what? Nobody does that. In a comic book of superheroes, I'm stuck on that mom pushing that.
Maybe they were actually supers.
That's what it is. They're a bunch of pyromancer maybe. Superheroes.
You never know.
Bonus random internet thing that I have seen is that moms in like Scandinavian countries where it gets super cold will take their small, like not necessarily newborn kids, but they're like a year old or so, and they will throw them outside in the snow to do cold exposure.
Oh, I thought you were going to say at the bears.
Yeah. They'll be like,
bears.
I want to live, and then throw it down as bait and run. No. but they do it to start getting their cold exposure up and start building up some, it's supposed to help with some immunity and some other stuff. But no, you're right. If you were going to be outside for a prolonged period of time, you should definitely be dressed for the weather.
Yeah, no, you were 100%. I mean, unless they're wearing like 5 layers of long underwear under there.
Dude, she doesn't even have like, I'm pretty sure.
Are there any boots on?
She doesn't even have socks. She just has like tennis shoes. The mom doesn't have socks on, it looks like, either. She's just wearing like normal flats. Look at this. That is ridiculous.
Maybe they're fake, because if you remember in that story, he sees stuff that's not real.
That's possible.
I know, but that's when he went to go check on his daughter. And it was like almost a year before that.
Is it still up?
Yeah.
I mean, it still could be fake.
But they don't let it linger. They stay with the perspective of them, and he goes away. And so,
also true.
I think that if it was him seeing things, it wouldn't stay with his imaginary people when he leaves. Like from a narrative perspective, I don't think so.
Right.
I think they were real because he was trying to find his daughter. So I think he was just checking in on her with her adopted family.
Right.
That's what it was. But no, it's in the snow. It's clearly, he's like, she's with a good family. I'm like, psh. Why? Because she's pushing her on a swing in the snow? With no coat on. Whatever. Pneumonia. That whole family is dead. Anyway. Did you have a least favorite character?
Sharon.
Really?
No.
Because she was...
She did get a little mouthy this time, didn't she?
Yeah.
That's not why. But yes. No, it was just because she was really trying to push Captain America off of trying to save Bucky.
Because she is a soldier.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is a soldier. She is a spy.
Right. Well, yeah. But, you know, it's just, I mean, she didn't believe he was even in there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, without the cosmic cube, I'm not sure she would have been wrong.
Sure.
But he was starting to defy orders. There's a whole thing. I mean? It is. Mm.
But I don't know if there would have been enough left of him to really save. I probably would have sided with her on that one, but she...
Fucking come back. Oh, man. Will siding with Agent 13.
That's okay.
That fits his modus operandi.
Yeah.
Always has that...
Contrarian.
He's supposed to be the villain, but he doesn't live up to it.
We vibe quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, that's why.
Makes sense. What about you?
I didn't have a least favorite character this time.
No?
Nope.
I don't think I did either.
Cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah. So, out of, what are we gonna rate it? Secret Appalachian Bunkers?
Shields.
Robot arms, power cubes, cosmic cubes.
Vibranium.
I think we did shields last time.
Did we?
Stripes.
Stars and stripes. I think he yelled that Mechanical in Marvel arms. Ultimate Alliance.
I already said robot arms.
Arm. He did.
Red stars.
I was going to say flying cars.
Flying cars, sure.
Or helicopters. There's quite
a... Yeah.
What do you guys think? What do you think? Usually I feel like we come down... Like, what about secret dossiers?
We could do secret dossiers.
Sure. How many secret dossier
files? Top secret dossier files.
I think, and this is taking into account the first part, I think I'm going to give the whole thing that we read a 4.
A 4? So mm-hmm. You would not suggest it?
I don't think so.
Okay. Interesting.
It was still good.
Yeah. But well, a 4 is not bad.
No.
At all.
I enjoyed it, but I don't think I would suggest it.
Unless it's out of 10. 4 out of 10, you're not looking good.
4 out of 100. I mean,
well, yeah.
4 out of 100. Ouch. We haven't read anything we'd score that low.
No, we have not.
No, I would also give it a 4.
A 4?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this because Winter Soldier, again, is one of my favorites, but it's more from his series. And I think for this... I'm trying to think if I would do a 4 or 4.5. I'm going to go, I'll do 4.5. I'll do 4.5.
Wow, nice. He's the one that did the weird 0.5 point something this time.
So I felt like I remembered enjoying this more than I did on the reread. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if my first read on it, I would have given it a 5. But on a reread, I would say it would be like a 3.5 to a 4.
Right.
But there's a lot I enjoy in it, and that's why I'll give it a 4.5 because I want to say the first time I read it,
You did just read it right after Green Lantern, so.
Yeah, and this isn't the series. This is really, most people consider this the best series that you can read of Captain America.
I mean, it's good, and I would read more Captain America.
Yeah, I have another series too, but it's very much more of like the... comic booky, very wordy 90s kind of stuff.
Which is okay if you don't have a time limit.
Right. I like this because of the spy feel. Like, it's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And it's Captain America working with S.H.I.E.L.D. against a Russian assassin, really.
Yeah, it's great.
I enjoy that kind of thing.
With, like, drop-ins from the Avengers.
Yeah, Falcon was in it. Falcon. We didn't mention Falcon. I considered giving him best character this time. I thought he was a good supporting character.
Yeah. Falcon was good.
Yeah, the like he was a good friend.
Cap was running on the rooftops, and then Falcon shows up, and he's like, all that crap inside your head doesn't really matter. What is it you really want to do?
Yeah, he's like, I'll help you do whatever you think needs done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
And he did it. He stuck through the end. It's a good friend.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you're not planning on jumping off that ledge, because I've been looking for you all night.
I liked when he was fighting the soldiers outside the bunker. And then when it was time for that, he's like, Spetsnaz. He's like,
I know, right?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But all right. So next issue that we are going to have is our independent.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What do you guys want to read the one that I was going to suggest?
Sure.
Is there an independent that you guys have wanted to check out before?
I don't have one.
There was one that's been on my read list for a while, and okay. It was the Brandon Sanderson's White Sand. I don't know how long it is or how good it is, though.
I've
heard
don't
from
know.
People that it's, you know, pretty decent. I just don't know how long it is, because we might end up having to read a lot. So if yours is...
I want to say it's three issues, but they're like huge.
Yeah.
It's like three graphic novels.
I mean, somewhere. That tracks with Brandon Sanderson. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that tracks.
Oof. Yeah. Right. 157 pages for the first
There's three, three, I think. Yeah. I think we should plan that one a different time.
Okay.
Maybe.
Unless Will wants to fight you on it.
No.
Arm wrestle. I'll say who wins.
I mean, it should be kind of obvious, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess unless it's kind of a draw.
He could be scrappy.
Scrappy. Scrappy-doo. So you're okay with that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're okay with Lazarus?
That's fine.
Okay. So we'll read Lazarus by Greg Rucka, 1-6.
Sweet.
You guys can meet Forever Carlisle. First issue, so good. Pulls you in so hard.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Good. You have anything else?
I do think the next time we do a Captain America, we should rate it by Ricochet Ankles.
Ricochet Ankles. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the last thing I've got. Is hopefully we can remember.
Right.
I doubt it, but hopefully.
We'll try.
Will, you got anything else?
There's a chance. Nope.
Well, I guess that means I'm definitely Patrick.
And this is Will.
And I'm Chris, and we are Guys with Issues, remembering who we are.
Yeah, finally, one issue down.
You can catch Guys with Issues anywhere you find your favorite podcasts.
Or check out our website at guyswithissues.com, where you can listen, find reading lists to follow along, and get to know us better.
Send us emails to longbox@guyswithissues.com and tell us your thoughts. Send us suggestions on what we should read next. We would love to hear from our listener. In the immortal words of Austin Powers, that's not my bag, baby.
That
sounds like an outro.
That's okay.
Soke. That was the name of one of our chickens. When we raised chickens.
You should have named the other one Ahsoka.
No, this was before all that.
Oh.
Soke was named Soke because my daughter, who was like 4 at the time, was holding a scared chick going, Soke, Soke.
That's amazing.
And so her name became Soke.
That's amazing. I love it.
It's a chicken story on the podcast.
Chicken stories.